Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and we're still looking at verse 26. Actually, 25, I'm sorry. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the border of the widow. We began looking at this under four different headings. Number one, the problem, the punishment, the pattern, which is Christ, and then the pattern you will leave for future generations. The first part of this verse, as we looked at, is directed to the wicked and ungodly. But it is also a warning to the believer as well. Those that seek to elevate themselves through pride, God delights to put down. And He will do so most certainly. Pride is and has been and will be the ruin of multitudes. Bridges says that it is the administration of divine government to humble the proud and to exalt the humble. But He will establish the border of the widow. And we saw that during this period of time, borders were often, especially landmarks, were often kept by putting stones or some other object down that would indicate your property line, as it were. And many times those that were dishonest would remove those landmarks and would establish new borders that would give them more property. Well, God will establish the border of the widow. God looks out for the widow. There is much to be said in Scripture of the fatherless and widow, especially in the taking advantage of those that many times cannot care for themselves. But there is a message that is even more prominent in all of this. And that was entitled, The Ugliness of Pride. The Ugliness of Pride. And we can't just read the verses and say that was very nice. The verses that we will look at, the truths of Scripture that we look at concerning pride, how does that relate to you personally? How does that relate to me? How do I view pride? Do I view pride as being a problem in the first place? That pride is like a cancer. And it's like a cancer that is within each one of us. And just like a cancer that sometimes is in remission. And if it is not watched very closely, it will begin to spread throughout our bodies. And it will begin to take us over. And just like a cancer, many times it goes undetected until it is too late. Until it is too late to do anything about. That is the ugliness of pride. Do we view pride in the same way? What are some of the warnings in the Bible about this sin? How does it manifest itself in our lives? Pride is this horrible, horrible infection of the heart. And it requires great doses of God's Word. This problem, first of all, we saw was a spiritual problem. Their spiritual pride. Job 33:9 says, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. One would say that I am innocent. I'm not guilty of anything. There's no iniquity in me. There's no sin in my life. The person that says such things does not see pride as a spiritual problem. There was national pride. Ezekiel 30:6 says, Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down. Have you ever looked at, have you ever seen, say, on the History Channel, anything about Egypt, ancient Egypt, and all of the splendor and the wonder of Egypt? Even that which is still standing today, the pyramids. And as one would look upon the grandeur of everything that was done in Egypt, one would have a tendency to trust in Egypt. But thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall. Egypt is nothing to the Lord. There is nothing that we can raise up that is anything to the Lord. And yet, we will put our pride in it. We will trust in it. We will boast about it. We will even try and do it in a roundabout way that it doesn't sound like pride. God is going to deal with His enemies. God is going to deal with His enemies even when they seem and appear to be prospering and doing well. They may be raised up for that very purpose of a fall. So while it would appear, and many times even in battle, we read many times in Scripture where there are those that will win the battle only to be raised up for God to put down and to show His power through something much lesser. There's the pride of arrogance in the third place. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Is that the case with you? That is the question. Because that's what it's all about. And when I say you, I mean you and me. Because hopefully that's what you came here to hear. That you came to hear what the Scriptures have to say. And I thought it was very interesting, and I may have made this comment already, what Joe had to say when he spoke about Bruce Olson and about the book of Proverbs. Actually, I think this was regarding your testimony. In your testimony, how that prior to his conversion, he did not like to read the Proverbs because they were so convicting. And that's how the Proverbs are. And as we look at them, and as we look at the ugliness of pride, that becomes convicting to you and to me. Because I see myself in these things. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do I hate evil? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Do I hate pride and arrogancy? If I hated pride and arrogancy, would I seek to be arrogant? Would I be proud? Would I give out things? Would I try and couch things in a way which it didn't appear to be pride at all, but it would be in some way where it wouldn't really be detected, but all the time I'm puffing out my chest about it? Do I hate those things? What about the pride of conceit? Proverbs 28:11 says, "The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth them out." The pride of boasting. 1 John 2:16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." It's not of the Father. So when you find yourself exhibiting that pride, all you have to do is remember, this which I'm doing is not of the Father. This is of the world. This is of the world. Calvin says the sum of this is that as soon as the world offers itself, our desires are carried away by it like an unbridled beast, because our heart is perverse, and so various lusts, all against God, begin to rule over us. What about the pride of presumption? And that was, we looked at David. And when David had gone down to where the Philistines were putting the battle in array, and Eliab, David's oldest brother, began to say to David, when David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine out here that defies God? Is there no one to take up the battle against this man?" He didn't say anything about his size. He said that he was defiling God. And Eliab says, "David, why'd you even come down here? You came down here to make us look bad. You came down here to be boastful and proud." And that was a false accusation against David. And it was soon proved out when David went up against Goliath. And wasn't this the case? By all human rights, by all human thinking, could David go up against Goliath? How could that possibly be? And yet, with God, it was nothing, because it had nothing to do with Goliath's size. And everything with David's trust in the Lord. And we face those things all the time. We have Goliaths in our life all the time. Those giants in our life just appear to be overwhelming, unsurmountable. "You don't understand. I've got this huge problem." What we don't understand is we've got a huge God. What about the pride of self-confidence? Obadiah 3, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." We need to memorize that. We need to know that when we have pride in it, it exhibits itself in our life, that we're being deceived by it, because somehow we are trusting in it. What about the pride of wisdom and riches? Oh boy. Jeremiah 9:23, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches." Do we not see that all the time? Do we not see that on TV? That you've got those that are going to, that think that they're so intelligent, they're going to glory in their wisdom and in their intelligence. Probably not wisdom, just intelligence. And then you've got those that are rich, and just because they're rich, does that make them anything? If you today, who are nothing, I am nothing, if I became rich today, does that make me something that I'm not? Absolutely not. But the Lord says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let neither Let the mighty man glory in his might. And let not the rich man glory in his riches. So you've got the wise man, the mighty man, and the rich man. And all of those things are the tendencies that we tend to put our trust in. Intelligence, might, and riches. Pride is like a chain. Psalm 73:6, therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Those of you that were at camp 2 years ago may remember the lesson that was given where Rodney came up and sat and I wrapped him in that heavy, heavy chain. That's the picture, if you remember that. That's the picture of pride. It compasses you about like a chain. It weighs you down. You can't do anything because of it. Pride is like a rod. Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. And Matthew Henry says, where there is pride in the heart and no wisdom in the head to suppress it, it commonly shows itself in our words. In the second place, we began looking at the punishment, and I'm really just kind of leading up to the third place. But in the second place, the punishment. Proverbs 6:16. Turn there, please. Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. At the very beginning, a proud look. The Lord hates them. The Lord hates a proud look. It's pride. It's a characteristic that takes over a person. And I said that this is like a catalog of those things that the Lord hates, but at the beginning of all of them is pride. So, while we hate pride in others, and you don't like to see it, you really don't. You don't like to see it, and you know what? And when you do see it in someone else, what do you generally do with that person? You really don't want to be around that person because you don't feel good about it. You just don't enjoy their company when you're around that person that is proud. And isn't it interesting how you can see that characteristic in them, but they can't see it in themselves? Is it the same way with you and me? Do others see pride in you and you don't see it in yourself? One thing that you can be assured of, the Lord sees it. The Lord sees it. His ever and all-seeing eye sees it. He even sees it when you try to disguise it. He even sees your deception in loving it so much to try and disguise it. Proverbs 16:5 and 18, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Jeremiah 50:31-32, behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud. What a horrible thing to have said of you that the Lord is against you. A terrible thing. So we've looked at the pride, or the problem, the ugliness of pride, the problem itself, pride. We've looked at the punishment, how God deals with pride and how He hates pride. And we'll begin this evening looking at the pattern, Christ Himself. Christ Himself. Not about pride, but about humility. About humility. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, may we hate pride in ourselves. Lord, we are often so humble that we are proud of being humble. We pray, Lord, that You would be pleased to work a true hatred, a true hatred of that which You hate, and a true love of that which You love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 85, 1 through 5, on page 183.